Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name's Jim Freund. This morning, Max Schmid is putting the program together for us. I'm just here to intro and outro and to thank Max and to tell you about a reading. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Midway through the new film Garm Wars, The Last Druid, yes, that's a real title, two of the main characters, opposing warriors who have become reluctant allies, Kara, played by Melanie St-Pierre, and Skellig, played by Kevin Durand, and nearly unrecognizable from the role he's presently playing on, The Strain, pause to discuss what it's like to be blessed by a Gula, one of the mystical creatures that is their traveling companion. Kara talks about the feeling of overwhelming benevolence she received from the Gula's mere touch and goes to great lengths to compliment its odor. Skellig, meanwhile, can't say enough about how wonderful its drool is. Did I mention, by the way, that the Gula is actually a basset hound? Because it is. A real-life basset hound that Garm Wars devotes considerable footage to watching waddle through futuristic warship sets and forest and desert locations. This is weird, but not quite as weird when you know who the director is. He's Mamoru Oshii, best known as the director of the influential anime feature Ghost in the Shell, and well known to those who have followed his career as an avid breeder of basset hounds, a breed for which he has no end of superlatives and which, over the course of his career, play greater and greater roles in his films. And while it is likely that Oshii has more than a little tongue in his cheek in having his beloved basset laconically glumping throughout the scenes of this live-action film, spreading goodwill wherever it goes, it well fits in with the way he tends to personalize all his work, live-action and animation. And so, all of Oshii's obsessions are here in Garm Wars, aircraft that spread their wings like biomechanical birds of prey, warriors as obsessed with discovering the reasons for their own existence as they are dedicated to the art of battle, and tons of blatant religious iconography, from an impromptu crucifixion to giant winged androids rising out of the wilderness like immense avenging angels. And basset hounds, yeah, basset hounds too. There's tons of beautiful imagery, most of it computer-generated by Oshii's regular production partner, Production IG, and no lack of action, airborne battles, exploding warships, a great sequence in which soldiers fight giant, lumbering robots in a lush forest, although, as is the wont of CG effects, too much of it feels a little too intangible to fully captivate. If only there was enough story to make it worthwhile. That's also sort of an Oshii specialty that shows up more often in his live-action films. With his animated projects like Ghost in the Shell or Skycrawlers, there's frequently source material being adapted, so the storyline is built in. A lot of Oshii's live-action work is original material, and the director does seem to mistake enigmatic ambience for a narrative line. The story here, such as it is, involves Kara and Skellig escorting a technologically advanced pilgrim, played by Lance Henriksen, whose every line reading screams, "Boy, I hope you people know what's going on here," and another mystical being, known as a druid, hence the title, to a distant realm where it is promised that the truth of their race, collectively known as the Garm, will be revealed to them. But that story doesn't kick in until the film is almost halfway over, and that is prefaced by fully 45 minutes of insanely incomprehensible exposition, delivered by narrator subtitles and an inquest overloaded with declamatory speeches. And then the film is capped off by the steadily sinking realization that, in fact, a full story is not going to be told here, that this entire exercise is, in itself, preface for some other story to be told in future chapters that, I'll go out on a limb with this prediction here, will probably never be made. Nearly all of Mamoru Oshii's works are tightrope acts, treading the line between consequence and inscrutability. In works like Ghost in the Shell and Pat Labor 2, he threads that needle and delivers films of powerful and sometimes controversial impact. When he falters, he can slip into a morass of vagueness and shallow posturing. Garm Wars, The Last Druid, tries for mystical depth, but at best can only deliver some occasionally striking imagery and the notion that Basset Hounds are really adorable. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com.
And thank you, Dan. And you are listening to WPAI in New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifico Radio at 99.5 FM. This program is Hour of the Wolf, and I am not Jim Freund. Well, I am Jim Freund, but I'm not producing the show today. Max Schmid is, because I have an insane, crazy schedule. Part of that schedule includes that next week I will be gone to CapClave, which is the Washington, D.C. science fiction convention, where I'll get a lot of interviews and is a lot of fun. But on Tuesday, that's October 6th, we will be having an episode, a meeting of the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. And let me tell you all about it. We have two fine readers, both from Kings County and Queens County. Brooke Bolander writes weird things of indeterminate genre, most of them leaning rather heavily towards fantasy. She attended the University of Leicester, studying history and archaeology, and is an alum of the 2011 Clarion Writers' Workshop at UCSD. Her work has been featured in Lightspeed, Strange Horizons, Nightmare, Reflections Edge, and the upcoming anthologies Aliens, Recent Encounters, and Help Fund My Robot Army. She is a clean, burning, energy-efficient engine that runs primarily off tea, the works of Peter S. Beagle, and Fumita Ueda, and feedback from her readers. Follow her on Twitter at bbolander or at her website, brookbolander.com. And our other reader is Matt Kressel. Matthew Kressel is a multiple Nebula Award finalist and World Fantasy Award finalist. His first novel, King of Shards, debuts October 13th from Resurrection House. His fiction has or will soon appear in such markets as Clark's World, Lightspeed, Nightmare, io9.com, Beneath Ceaseless Skies, Interzone, Apex Magazine, and the anthologies After, Naked City, The People of the Book, Launchpad, and many other markets. He was the former editor and publisher of the acclaimed zine Sybil's Garage, and he published the World Fantasy Award-winning Paper Cities. Alongside veteran editor Ellen Datlow, and if you were listening 2 weeks ago, you heard her on this program, he co-hosts the Fantastic Fiction at KGB Reading Series in Manhattan. He has been a member of the Altered Fluid Writers Group for more than a decade, studies the Yiddish language in his spare time, and is preternaturally obsessed with the film Blade Runner. If you ask politely, he might recite whole scenes from the film. Find him on Twitter at Matt Kressel and his blog at MatthewKressel.net. Our host for the evening will be Amy Goldschlager, who is an editor, proofreader, and book/audiobook reviewer. She has worked for several major publishers and has contributed reviews and features to the LA Review of Books, Locus, Kirkus, Publishers Weekly, Comic Mix, and Audiophile Magazine. She lives in Brooklyn and can be found virtually at amygoldschlager.com. Now, did I mention, by the way, that all of this is happening in the same building as WBAI? I probably should have done that. It's 388 Atlantic Avenue. It's very, very easy to get to, and you can, you know, use your preferred search engine to look it up. Or if you go onto Facebook, we have a New York Review of Science Fiction Reading Series group. It's actually NYRSF, N-Y-R-S-F Readings. And that has more about the event. Or visit my website, ourwolf.com, OurWolf.com, and you'll also find an interactive map there. And admission is free to the event. We do ask for donations, but it is free admission, so we hope to see you in Tuesday, October 6th, 388 Atlantic Avenue. We will open doors, as it were, at 6:30, and the event is to begin at about 7 p.m. So, hope to see you then. And once again, thank you, Max Schmid, for covering for the show. It's all yours now.
Well, then, by George, I'll take it and I'll run with it. Thank you, Jim. And for the next whatever time remains of the program, we are going to be examining our neighbor in the sky, the red planet, where they have recently discovered water. Could this mean life? Well, we're going to hear a bit of music and then our feature presentation in about 10 minutes or so will be the Lux Radio Theater version of War of the Worlds. Gene Barry starred in the motion picture, but instead we have Dana Andrews taking over his role. But more about that in a little while.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water. Old Dan and I with throats that cry for water. Cool water. Clear water. Moving Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
The nights are cool and I'm a pool, each star's a pool of water.
Cool water.
But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water.
Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water.
Cool water.
And way up there,
moving down, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
Dan's feet are sore, he's yearning for just one thing more than water.
Cool water.
Like me, I
yourself, where does that highway go to? And you may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong? And you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done?
Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing under that, into the blue again, into the silent water, under the rocks and stones. There is water under that. Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing under that, into the blue again. After the money's gone, once in a lifetime, water flowing under that.
Same as it ever was.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, and her mommy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friends are nowhere to be seen, and she walks through a sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, 'cause she's lived it 10 times or more. It's about to be lived again as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Look at those cavemen go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at that low man beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know. He's in the best selling show. Is there life on? On America's tortured brow, Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow, and the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hearts, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads, Rule Britannia is out of bounds. To my mother, my dog, a clown. But the film is a saddening bore, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be lived again as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at that low man beating
David Bowie on the reality tour from the end of November 2003, Life on Mars. Well, I don't know about that, but there certainly is death from Mars in the Lux Radio Theater adaptation of George Powell's version of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, originally broadcast on February 8th, 1955. Great cast, including William Conrad, Les Tremaine, who also appeared, by the way, in the movie Angry Red Planet, and starring Dana Andrews. Let's hear it, shall we? Oh, and by the way, this is WBAI New York, Hour of the Wolf, with your guest producer, Max Schmid.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, brings you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Dana Andrews and Pat Crowley in War of the Worlds. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Irving Cummings.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we are going to take a look into the possible frightening future, as though the present weren't bad enough, and see what might happen if our Earth were invaded by another planet. It's George Powell's production for Paramount, War of the Worlds, and our stars are Dana Andrews and Pat Crowley. They will join me later for a preview of George Powell's latest production for Paramount, Conquest of Space. Meanwhile, here's our good friend, Ken Carpenter.
It would be hard to find a man who works as many hours a day as you women do. For instance, you spend 5.5 hours every week just doing dishes, and that's only for a family of four. But Lux Liquid Detergent gives you back some of that time. Lux Liquid is made especially to help you do dishes fast and easy. It floats grease right off. Plates, glasses, utensils, even pots and pans come clean really fast. Just a teaspoonful does a dishpan full. One can outlasts several boxes of the leading laundry powder. Your hands stay nice, too. Lux Liquid is almost as mild as Lux Toilet Soap. The next best thing to a dishwashing machine. That's Lux Liquid. Lever Brothers unconditionally guarantees Lux Liquid is just as wonderful as we say. And the millions of women who've used it have found that Lux Liquid is as good for dishes as Lux Flakes Care is for nylons. Buy it when you market. Lux Liquid in the can with the dripless spout.
Now Act One of War of the Worlds, starring Dana Andrews as Clayton and Pat Crowley as Sylvia.
No one would have believed in the middle of the 20th century that human affairs were being watched keenly and closely by intelligences greater than man's. Yet across the Gulf of Space on the planet Mars, intellects vast and cool and unsympathetic regarded our Earth with envious eyes, slowly and surely drawing their plans against us. Mars is more than 140 million miles from the sun, and for centuries it has been in the last stages of exhaustion. The inhabitants of this dying planet looked across space with instruments and intelligences of which we have scarcely dreamed, searching for another world to which they could migrate. Their nearest world was giant Jupiter, where the atmospheric pressure is thousands of pounds to the square inch. They could not go there. Nor to Saturn, nor to Pluto, planets encased in eternal ice. They could not go to Neptune or Uranus, twin worlds in eternal night, and surrounded by unbreathable atmospheres of methane gas and ammonia vapor. They could not go to Mercury. Its temperature is that of molten lead. Of all the worlds that the intelligences on Mars could see and study, only our own warm Earth was green with vegetation, bright with water, and possessed a cloudy atmosphere eloquent of fertility. It did not occur to mankind that a swift fate may be hanging over us, that it would come at the time of our nearest approach to the orbit of Mars, that it would begin in or over the mountains northeast of Los Angeles, California, on a pleasant summer evening.
Hello? Lodeo, this is Pine Summit Lookout. I got a smoke.
Okay, what's your reading?
Azimuth, 160 degrees, 30 minutes. Right where that meteorite just hit. Did you see it?
Not me, but a couple of the guys did. Must have been a pretty big fireball.
Big? I never seen anything like it. Hey, look, you better get a pump truck over there before the fire gets really going.
Will do.
Truck number three to D.O. Number three to D.O.
D.O. to number three. How you coming?
Still pumping water on the fire, but it's under control. Unless this meteorite heats things up again. Over.
You mean it's still red hot? Over.
Red hot is right. And as big as a barn. Over.
Who are you kidding? Over.
I said big as a barn. Mac, I think somebody ought to take a look at it. Might be something for those astronomers down at Palomar. Over.
Maybe there's some guys even closer. The station at Pine Summit reported there were a couple of fellas camping up there. Said they were scientists.
Yeah? What kind? You don't want any butterfly experts or lizard specialists. Over.
I got you. Stand by and I'll check Pine Summit.
No butterflies or lizards. Just brook trout, yes. I'm Chief Fry Cook.
Mm-mm. They sure smell good, don't they?
There's plenty if you'd like to join us.
I'd like to, but I got to get back to Lookout. what I really meant was, didn't you two tell me you were scientists from Pacific Tech?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bilderbeck is one of the country's top biochemists.
And he wouldn't know about meteors.
That's your department, Clayton.
The district officer phoned us at the summit. Want us to have an expert look at that meteor. Landed about 10, 12 miles from here over by Linda Rose.
Well, I thought we could tell much about it tonight. Probably won't be cool enough to touch for hours yet. Maybe not till morning.
And in the morning, I'm due back at the lab.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. All right, I'll stay over. Perhaps in the morning, the district officer can fix me up with a lift to Linda Rose.
How about me?
You?
Sure. My relief's coming up first thing tomorrow morning. I'd kind of like to get a look at that meteor myself.
Good. That's a deal.
Professor?
Yes?
Those trout do smell awful good, don't they?
Change your mind?
Yeah. My wife always said my strongest point's my weakness. What do you know? Look at all them cars.
Yeah, sightseers already.
Yeah, one of them's the sheriff. That's his car parked on the fire break.
Aye. Fiddler, up here.
Well, that ranger waving at us?
Yeah, that's Smith. Come on. The meteor sure plowed the tops off those trees, didn't it?
Hmm. That's odd. They don't usually hit at such an oblique angle.
Hey, Smith, where is it?
Down here in the gully.
That's it down there, half buried under all that loose earth.
Ah, still smoking.
You bet it is. You could fry eggs on it.
Ooh, really is big as a house, isn't it?
Hey, I wouldn't get too near that thing. It'll scorch you.
Oh, thanks. I'll bear that in mind.
Did you see it come down?
Hmm? Did I see it?
Yes. My uncle and I were coming out of the movies last night just when it flashed across the sky. We heard the explosion when it hit here.
That's what I don't understand. Why a meteorite that size didn't make a bigger crater?
Well, the ranger told us a scientist is coming over from Pacific Tech. He'll be able to tell you. He knows all about meteors.
Well, he does. Really?
Hmm. He's top man in astro and nuclear physics. Clayton Forrester. Well, you must have heard of him.
It appears that you have.
Well, I did a thesis on American scientists when I was working for my master's degree. Forrester was the man behind the new atomic engines. One of these days, he'll win the Nobel.
Oh, he isn't that good.
He certainly is. I think that if you knew
him...
I
do know him. That is, slightly.
Oh? What's he like? I mean, as a man.
Well... For one thing, when he goes hunting or fishing, he never shaves. After 4 or 5 days, he looks about as fuzzy as, as I do.
Oh, you... You're Dr. Forrester?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I'm Sylvia Van Buren.
How do you do?
Very well, now that I've met thee, Dr. Clayton Forrester. Come on, I want my uncle to meet you.
Oh, but I...
Please, he's just over there talking to the sheriff.
All right, you win.
Well, they won't be able to haul this one off to a museum.
They certainly won't.
Uncle Matthew?
Yes, my dear?
I want you to meet Dr. Clayton Forrester, the astrophysicist. Dr. Forrester, my uncle, Dr. Collins, pastor of the community church.
Oh, I'm so glad to know you, Dr. Forrester.
How do you do, sir?
Hey, Sheriff.
Hmm?
Look here.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Borrowed this Geiger counter off a guy that just came out here looking for uranium. Listen to it.
Oh. Mind if I try that a moment, Ranger?
Hmm? Oh, no. Here you are.
Now, that's the point that pulled me toward the gully.
See what I mean?
Uh-huh. It's the meteor, all right.
It's radioactive?
Apparently. But why? It's beyond me.
You mean there's no record of anything like this happening before?
Well, I've never heard of it. Now, maybe I'll stick around until that thing cools off. Dr. Collins?
Yes?
Where's a good place in town where I could shave and clean up a little bit?
Well, the best place is my house, Dr. Forrester. Sylvia and I would be delighted if you'd stay with us.
Well, I wouldn't
want... Of course you will.
But it may be until tomorrow.
It's settled, Dr. Forrester. And if you're wondering how on earth you can put in your time in a place like Linda Rosa, there's a square dance tonight.
All right. I surrender. Sheriff.
Yes?
If that meteor is radioactive, you'd better keep people away from it. There might be very dangerous radiations.
Oh, that's so, yeah. Okay, I'll post a couple of deputies. Is there anything else?
No, but if you need me, you know where to find me.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there myself at the square dance.
Having fun, Dr. Forrester?
Sure. You know, dancing is something I don't get much time for.
Well, you should make time. Don't your girlfriends like to dance?
I don't have much time for them either, I'm afraid.
Hey, Dr. Forrester.
Oh, evening, Sheriff.
I was just talking by radio phone to one of my deputies out at the media. He says it's pretty well cooled off.
Good. Then we'll look at it again in the morning.
All right. I'll call my deputies back and tell them to come on in. No tourists out there this time of night. And Saturday night is Saturday night, you know.
Hey, Salvador.
Yes? What did he say?
Sheriff says to come on in.
Oh, good. Maybe we go have a beer, huh, Alonso?
Just a minute. Alonso?
Yeah,
it's coming from that meteor. It's moving! Something is moving on top of it. It's turning! It's no meteor. Alonso, hit the dirt. Hey, he's going right up through that opening at the top. Like a snake.
Yeah. Or a periscope, like a cobra's head, only it's metal, some kind of green metal with eyes.
He's turning all around. What's he looking for?
Maybe us.
Maybe.
Look, Salvador, this could be some sort of enemy snake attack. We gotta radio the sheriff.
Yeah, but we don't let him see us, huh?
No, we crawl along this ditch till we get near the patrol car, then make a run for it, right?
Maybe. Let's go.
Run! We gotta run! Faster! He's looking right at us! It's gonna kill us!
Hey, the lights! Who turned off those lights?
right.
Now, wait, don't get panicky, folks.
Sylvia, Dr. Forrester.
Yes, Uncle Larry.
Over here, Dr. Collins.
Good. Nothing to be alarmed about. You know, at midnight, they always play Goodnight Ladies and turn out the lights. I think they're just ahead of time.
Well, let's check our watches. I'll strike a match.
Let's see, I have 11:20. No, my watch has stopped.
Well, that's strange. So is mine. Dr. Forrester?
Yeah, mine too. Well, there's only one explanation. All our watches must have been magnetized.
But how?
Here we are, folks. Here's candles for everybody. Light them up.
Oh, Sheriff.
Yeah?
Do you happen to have a pocket compass?
Pocket compass? For sure.
May I see it, please?
Yeah, right here. All right, now what?
Well, just look at it.
I'll be hanged, but that needle isn't pointing north.
No, it isn't. It's pointing almost due west, right to where that meteor came down.
Sheriff? Hey, where's the sheriff?
Yes, what is it, Fiddler?
Oh, hey, come take a look outside. There's a big fire out in the hills.
Is it west of town?
Yeah, due west. The reddest looking blaze I ever saw.
Sheriff, I hope your car is outside.
It sure is. Come on.
There's the reason the lights went out. Power line's down.
Yeah. It's funny. Alonzo and Salvador were going to go back into town, but there's their car right over there.
And they must still be around.
Yeah. Alonzo! Salvador!
The sheriff.
Hmm?
Turn your flashlight over there, along that ditch.
Where?
Right over there. Those two white mounds in the ditch. Are those ashes or...
Lord. Nothing left but the outlines. Listen. Listen, what in the blazes?
Now, quick!
Did you see it?
Yes. It's...
Oh, look, we've got to get word back to town. There's a transmitter in my car.
You had a car, Sheriff.
But Forrester, what is it? What kind of a gizmo is that thing?
Oh. Until a minute ago, I'd have sooner believed in fairies, witches, and ghosts. But now I think that gizmo is a machine from another planet.
Forrester. Forrester, look. Coming over those mountains there.
A second meteor. Just like the first. Sheriff... We've got to get word to the military right away.
Yeah, sure. But they'll never believe us. What will we tell them?
Tell them the truth. That we're under invasion from outer space.
We'll have Act Two of War of the Worlds in a moment. After a visit with Francis Scully. Well, Francis, my spy is telling me that you were out at 20th Century Fox over the weekend.
And it was a worthwhile trip, too, Ken. I went to preview their coming deluxe color CinemaScope picture about auto racing in Europe.
Oh, yes, that would be the racers. Say, I hear Kirk Douglas is great at it.
Oh, he's in good company, too. Bella Darvey, Gilbert Rowland, Cesar Romero, Lee J. Cobb, and Katie Jurado are also stars.
Well, those European races are famous for their excitement and danger.
And Henry Hathaway, who directed the racers, made sure movie fans would see the real thing. He used up over 90,000 feet of film shooting actual races.
Well, they must have gotten some spectacular shots.
Some fabulous shots, Ken. But the picture isn't all racing. The love and kisses department is well taken care of by Kirk Douglas and Bella Darvia. Well taken care of.
Well, with Belly Darva and Katie Arado in the racers, there'll be at least two luxe complexions on display.
Well, that's what you like, isn't it? Well, I guess most everybody does, though. There's nothing like a real Lux complexion.
And how true those words are, ladies. There's nothing like a real Lux complexion in Hollywood or anywhere. And it's true that 9 out of 10 movie stars like Bella Darby and Katie Arado count on Lux toilet soap to help keep their complexions looking like a star's complexion should. But Lux can be your soap, too. You don't have to be a movie star to have a movie star complexion. That's the beauty of Lux. It can give you skin that would be called beautiful anywhere, even in Hollywood, the beauty capital of the world. So use mild and gentle Lux. It's unconditionally guaranteed by Lever Brothers. Believe me, once you use it, you'll say there's no other soap quite like Lux. Now our producer, Mr. Cummings.
Act Two of War of the Worlds, starring Dana Andrews as Clayton and Pat Crowley as Sylvia.
Get those half-tracks out of the way. Captain, I want the artillery replacements.
All right, I'm the double. I'm the double there.
Hey, here come the tanks.
I said the carrier come to control of the United States Marines from El Toro Base. Colonel Ralph Hefner commanding. The gully where the machine landed is almost surrounded and... Oh, there's a man we want to hear from. Dr. Forrester.
Yes?
Would you give us your opinion, sir? Are these meteor machines from Mars?
Well, certainly from some planet other than our own.
Directly into the microphone, please, Doctor.
Well, if they are Martians, I'm sure the creatures that operate these machines must be quite uncomfortable in our heavier air and with the Earth's much stronger gravitational pull.
What do you think they look like, sir?
That's anybody's guess. We do know from animal evolution on this planet that it's possible they may have more than one brain. Perhaps two or even more. And possibly they may even smell colors.
Smell colors?
Well, that's speculation, of course.
Hey, Forrester.
Yes?
Colonel wants you in the command post.
Well, coming.
You'll excuse me, please. Certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Clayton Forrester, head of astrophysics at Pacific Tech.
Observation post is on this hill. The recoilless 75s are back here, Carbon Canyon.
Colonel Hefner.
In a moment, Forrester. Command, Hefner. Yes, that's right, Captain. Two rocket batteries on Hill 17 right now. Forrester.
Yes?
I want you to meet General Mann. He's in charge of intelligence for the Pacific area. General, Dr. Clayton Forrester.
I've heard quite a bit about you, Forrester. Glad you're with us.
I hope I can be of some help, General.
You can. First, let me brief you on the latest reports. Two machines have landed near Fresno, another outside Sacramento. Two down on Long Island. They're outside London. They're in Naples. One in Santiago, Chile.
Oh. Seem to be coming down at random.
It's too soon to know. But apparently that machine out there in the gully was the first down.
The lead ship, maybe.
Very likely. And the second one is exactly 2 miles due north. As I understand it, Forrester, you actually saw the first ship send out that destructive ray.
Yes, I did. That was an intense heat and light.
Two-thirds, huh?
Almost as powerful as the sun.
Atomic power?
Yes,
I'd say so, of some sort.
General?
Yes, Colonel.
That was a relay from the Pentagon. Santiago, Chile radios it's under attack. Two-thirds of the city already destroyed.
Two-thirds?
Yes, sir. But nothing like that can happen here, sir. We're ready for them.
Listen. Is that it?
Yes. Let's get to the observation post now.
Lights out! Cut all lights!
Lights off! Lights off!
Lights! Lights!
Keep your head down, General. Now focus your field glasses between these sandbags.
Yes.
You see the gully?
There's a greenish light glowing over it. Wait. Something's rising.
Like a periscope?
Yes. And beneath that, a greenish machine, almost round. Just floating there in the air, without propellers or jets.
It must be supported by some sort of rays. Probably a kind of magnetic flux. Huh. They must be keeping the opposing poles in balance, and that lifts the machine.
There's a second machine. And a third.
Dr. Forrester. Dr. Forrester.
Miss Van Buren, what are you doing?
Uncle Matthew insisted on coming, and I wouldn't let him by himself. Dr. Forrester, you've got to talk to him.
Miss Van Buren.
Please. You've got to stop him. He wants to go out and talk to those meteor machines.
All right, take me to him.
Matthew keeps saying we should try to make the Martians understand we're willing to be friends.
If they give us a chance to be.
I know.
Oh, come
on. But Uncle Matthew says it's his duty as a minister, a man of God.
Oh, where is he now?
I left him right about here. Uncle Matt? Uncle Matt!
Forrester, the machines are advancing. There's some fool out there walking to meet them.
Oh, no.
Uncle Matt! Uncle Matt!
It's too late now. You can't save him.
They're still there. They're untouched.
Yes. They've put up some sort of electromagnetic covering. A transparent dome that stops the shell.
They're coming at us!
All batteries, repeat fire!
That's impossible. One moment I got heavy artillery, tanks, and rockets, whole batteries of 105s, and then that ray hits them, and there's nothing. Nothing. Just a puff of ashes.
Well, now we know why 2/3 of Santiago was destroyed. Why, but not how.
I think I know, General. That heat ray neutralizes the mesons. Mesons are the atomic glue which holds all matter together. They're cut across their lines of magnetic force, and any object will simply cease to exist.
Uh-huh. And just how do we defend ourselves against it?
Not with shells and high explosives, I can tell you that. Take my word for it, General. You'd better talk to Washington about uranium and hydrogen bombs.
Here they come. Here they come!
Come on, let's get out of here.
Everybody out! All commands pull back north of Highway 60, Tunnel Bunker! Come on, hurry it up! Everybody out!
Miss Van Buren. Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. Let's not spend all morning in a cellar pit.
Mm. Oh. How long have we been here?
Well, since the Jeep ran out of gas, I guess about 3 hours. As near as I can figure it, we're somewhere southwest of Corona.
And that machine?
It's gone. It headed in the other direction.
Oh, thank heavens. You know, I'm hungry.
Well, you ought to be. Come on your feet now. There's a farmhouse across that field. Looked like the people took off in a big hurry. But maybe they left some food.
Look, over the mountains.
Yeah, the good old Air Force.
They found one of the machines.
It isn't going to do any good thinking about it. Let's hit for that farmhouse. Uh-huh. There are times when there's nothing so beautiful, so soul-satisfying as bacon and eggs.
And the people who lived here were so thoughtful to leave us some. Where's your plate?
Right here. You know, I get most of my meals in coffee shops. It's pretty tame eating.
Well, don't you live at home?
No, I live on the campus. You see, I haven't any family.
Oh, I come from a big one. There's 9 of us, all in Minnesota except me. Well, Dr. Forrester?
Hmm?
Aren't you going to sit down? There is a kitchen table.
Oh, yeah. Well, a big family must be fun. I imagine it makes you feel, well, as if you belong to something.
It does. Maybe that's why I feel kind of lost right now.
Yeah, I know. But everything's going to be all right. Sylvia?
Is it?
Well, at least we've got to think that.
They, whatever they are, they murder everything they see. Everything that moves. We're helpless.
Sylvia, every creature that has ever lived has had some sort of weakness. Not one of them has ever been invincible. And somehow, we'll find the weakness of these Martians. Some way to stop them.
I hope so. I'll get the coffee. You know, I feel like I did one time when I was a little girl. I'd wandered off. I'd forgotten why. But I became awfully scared and lonely. Finally, I went to a church. I was afraid to go anyplace else. I stayed right by that door, praying for the one who loved me best to come by and find me. It was Uncle Matthew who found me.
I'm awfully sorry about him.
Oh, I loved him very much. Oh, I could bowl my head off.
But you're not going to. You're not the kind.
What kind am I?
The brave kind.
Clayton!
Get down, on the floor. Sylvia? Sylvia?
Yes, Clayton?
Are you all right?
Yes. It sounds right outside the kitchen.
It is. Sylvia, I've got to get a look at them.
Oh, no. No.
Shh. Don't you see? This is the first chance any human has had to get a real close-up of them. If I can tell General Mann and our scientists what kind of beings we're dealing with...
All right. But I'm coming with you.
Okay.
Wait. Take this.
What good is a carving knife?
Maybe none, but take it.
In the front room. Come on. Martian blood. Sylvia. Sylvia, stop it. Stop it.
Clayton.
Come on, run for it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of those of you who don't know me, I'm General Mann of G2. I've asked you here because we desperately need the knowledge and skill of each one of you. Physicists, scientists, representatives of the 6th Army Command, the Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, the heads of our law enforcement agencies, the Civil Defense and Red Cross units. The Secretary of Defense in Washington has instructed me to give the whole picture of what has happened and what lies before us.
That is true. I'd like to see General Mann.
What's all that commotion? Major, see what that is.
Yes, sir. General Mann. General.
Yes, Dr. Bilderbeck.
That man is one of my colleagues, Dr. Clayton Forrester.
Forrester? We thought he'd been killed.
Let them through! Let them through!
Forrester, Miss Van Buren, we gave you up 24 hours ago.
You almost had reason to, General.
Yes, the Martians tried to take us alive.
What?
This morning, just outside of Corona. We managed to get away. We found an abandoned truck and drove to Pacific Tech. They told us you were here. Oh, by any chance, is Dr. Lucille Dupre in this room?
Right here, Forrest.
Oh, good. Dr. Dupre, I want you to analyze the stain on this cloth. I suggest that you leave for the laboratory right away.
What kind of stain is it, Forrester?
The blood of a Martian.
Martian? Forrester, I want a complete report of your experience. First, I think you ought to hear what I was about to say.
By all means, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the latest radio message from the Department of Defense. To General Mann, Command Post Xenophon, Los Angeles. Scandinavia presumed now in enemy control. All communications from Sweden, Norway, and Denmark blacked out. Paris now under attack. French cabinet is transferred to Strasbourg. Madrid totally destroyed. Rome, no further word, blacked out. London, blacked out. Buenos Aires, blacked out. Philadelphia, blacked out. New Orleans, blacked out.
General Mann?
Yes.
I've heard enough to convince me. Enough, I'm sure, to convince every physicist in this room. We must answer the enemy with our final weapon.
I was just coming to that, Forrester. By order of the Secretary of Defense and authorized by the President of the United States, the city of Los Angeles is to be defended by full atomic force. 3 hours from now, this afternoon at 1600 hours, the flying wing will drop the newest and most deadly bomb ever built, a thermonuclear bomb of octopal power. In 3 hours, we shall know its effectiveness and possibly the fate of mankind. In a moment, Act Three of War of the Worlds. Ladies, when it comes to wash day, the big talk is all about Rinso Blue, the remarkable new detergent that washes whiter because it blues as it washes. And now there's even a song about it. Listen.
Hi, this is Les Paul.
And Mary Ford.
This is the song of Rinso Blue, complete detergent, completely new. It gets clothes extra white and clean because it blues your washing machine.
Yes, Rinso Blue gets clothes extra white because it blues as it washes. So get Rinso Blue today.
And just remember, ladies, if your present detergent doesn't blue as it washes, it's only doing half the job. So switch to new Rinso Blue. It does a grand job on dishes and glasses, too. And yet, it's so mild on your hands. Today, get new Rinso Blue. It washes whiter because it blues as it washes. And that's unconditionally guaranteed by Lever Brothers. We pause now for station identification.
Curtain rises on Act Three of War of the World, starring Dana Andrews as Clayton and Pat Crowley as Sylvia.
This report is being recorded on tape for future history. If there is to be any future history, the future of our civilization may well depend upon what happens here this afternoon.
Attention, please, attention. 3 minutes to bomb time.
In case you didn't hear that, it is now 3 minutes to bomb time.
Attention, Dr. Forrester. Please report to General Mann.
The target for the bomb is a nest of Martian machines in the Puente Hills. We are approximately 6 miles from the target. There is, however, a forward observation post which has the Martians clearly in sight and which will report back to this base by telephone.
You know, of course, that you're not supposed to be here.
Everyone else has told me that from General Mann down. But I'm only interested in where Clayton Forrester wants me.
Now that is here.
Attention, please. 2 minutes to bomb time. 2 minutes.
Forrester. Forrester.
Dupre. I thought you were back at the lab.
I just finished that sample of Martian blood, Forrester. It's astounding. I've never seen blood crystals so anemic.
Huh. Anything else?
Yes. The structure of the corpuscles is...
Attention. The bomber is now approaching the target area. Prepare to take shelter.
Forrester, General Mann wants us in his dugout.
We're coming.
We're coming.
Watch your heads, everybody. There's not much clearance here.
Attention. Attention. 1 minute. 1 minute. If you have no goggles, turn your backs to the blast. Remember, the heat flash and concussion that follow are dangerous. Are dangerous.
Well, General Mann.
Forrester. I want you to stand by for the first damage reports.
Certainly, sir.
Major, open the line of the forward observation post.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Observation.
Yes, sir.
The flying wing is now beginning its bomb run.
Yes, sir. General, those Martian machines are throwing up some sort of a transparent dome over themselves.
Uh-huh. That would be an electromagnetic shield.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Clayton?
Yes?
May I hold your hand?
Of course.
20 seconds. Stand by. Attention! Prepare for heat wave and high velocity winds.
Observation. Can you see anything?
Not yet, sir. An awful lot of smoke. General, we can see something moving. They're still there. They haven't even been touched. They're still...
Observation. Come in. Observation, come in. Well, now we know the worst.
We may not be through yet, General.
Sure.
No, there's still a chance. A forlorn hope, maybe, that our sciences can search out some weakness in these Martians.
Yes, perhaps biologically. That anemic blood.
Look, our battle now is for time. We've got to take our instruments and hide somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Set up an emergency laboratory there.
Well, I'm sure the Air Force stands ready to fly your equipment wherever you wish.
That's good enough for us. Bilderbeck, Dupre, you too, Sylvia. As soon as we get back to Los Angeles, we'll gather up all the things we need.
They're coming! They're coming!
Everybody out of here! Everybody out!
gear in the truck for me.
Forrester, bring only the sonic microscopes.
Okay. Oh, which floor are they on?
The tenth, Forrester.
Hurry, Clayton.
Don't worry. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Stop the engine! Stop the engine!
But Clayton!
We'll come back for him. Start it! Start it!
No!
No!
No! Come on, get out of there!
I told him to wait here. Couldn't have been more than 5 minutes. Sylvia! Build him up! Dupre! Sylvia! Sylvia! Build him up!
We'll often left you too, eh?
No. Something must have happened. They'll be back. Well, they were in a yellow truck that was...
A truck? Sir, I'll give you $1,000.
Huh? For what?
Your place in that truck.
Listen, I said they'd
2,000.
Be... 2,000. Look, I don't want anything from you.
5,000. I'm rich. I've got it right here. My wife, servants, everybody. They all ran off and left me. But you can have any amount you...
No, I'm sorry. Money's no good now.
10,000, sir. 10,000.
Sylvia! Dupre!
50,000!
Build it back! Sylvia!
100! Everything I've got! Everything!
Sylvia! Oh, ma'am, I'm looking for a girl. Tall, dark girl. She was driving a yellow truck and... I'm sorry, ma'am, but she's lost. She's probably very frightened. Lost. She said the last time she was lost, when she was so frightened. Maybe that's where she went. A church. Sylvia! Sylvia?
Thank you.
abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say,
Sylvia,
of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress.
Sylvia!
Clayton!
In
here,
him will
here.
I trust. Surely he shall deliver
Let
thee
through.
From the snare of the fowler.
Let me through, please.
My dearest. Oh, my dearest.
Oh, darling.
The mob. They took the truck, pushed us out in the street, blocks from where you left us. I ran back, but you were gone.
It's all right now, Sylvia. It's all right.
Yes. We're together.
A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of it. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even
Clayton.
The Most High, thy habitation.
Yeah.
There shall no evil befall thee.
Something's happening to
Neither
thy machines.
Shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Come on.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
There in the street, that body.
Yeah. That's one of them.
They're dying. They're dying everywhere.
We prayed for a miracle, and it's happened.
All over the world, in London, in Paris, in Rome, Rio de Janeiro, Melbourne, New York, and San Francisco, the terrible invasion began to collapse. The Martians had no resistance to the bacteria in our atmosphere, to which we have long since become immune. Once they had breathed our air, germs which no longer affect us began to kill them. The end came swiftly. After all that men could do had failed, the Martians were destroyed and mankind saved by the littlest thing which God, in his wisdom, had put upon this earth.
In a moment, our stars will return.
Pepsodent! White, white, whiter teeth, Pepsodent for me. Whiter teeth are guaranteed, brush them and you'll see.
Right, no other leading toothpaste, not one, gets teeth as clean, as white as Pepsodent. You see, Pepsodent contains the most effective tooth cleaning ingredient in the world, IMP, insoluble metaphosphate.
Wow!
That's what it's called. IMP is found only in the Pepsodent Irium formula because Pepsodent uses the entire world supply.
White, white, whiter teeth, Pepsodent for me.
And oh yes, cleaner, whiter teeth naturally mean less chance of decay and a sweeter breath with a clean mouth taste for hours.
Whiter teeth are guaranteed, brush them and you'll see.
Lever Brothers makes this promise, this unconditional money-back guarantee. Change to Pepsodent and you'll see your teeth become whiter.
Brush 'em and you'll see.
Now, here's Mr. Cummings with our stars.
And here they are, Dana Andrews and Pat Crowley. Dana, how do you feel about planetary invasion?
Well, Irving, if I have a choice, I'd rather we invaded them.
Then you'll want to see George Pal's new Technicolor picture for Paramount, Conquest of Space. Because whereas War of the Worlds is just science fiction, Conquest of Space is science fact. The entire action takes place on the planet Mars and the Wheel, a man-made station some 1,100 miles above the Earth.
Mars? It's a long way to Mars, even with a space station in between.
Yes, Pat, the men who lead a fantastic existence on the Wheel are building a spaceship for flight to the moon, but later they receive orders to proceed directly to Mars.
And they make it, of course.
Yes, but it's a dangerous mission. And there's an exciting and suspenseful climax. And I think it's interesting that all the players are young unknowns who are getting their very first chance.
And I hope they'll all be as big a hit as Pat. I understand there's a good chance your name may appear in the Academy Award nomination this week, Pat, for the Best Supporting Actress in your first big role in Forever Female.
Oh, well, now that'd be too good to be true. But I'm sure Paramount's The Country Girl will be nominated. But I just don't see how anyone could choose between the performances of Bing Crosby and William Holden. And, of course, Grace Kelly's a cinch.
Well, there's no doubt at all about you and Grace Kelly being Lux girls, is there?
Oh, no, Irving. If getting an Oscar were as easy as having a Lux complexion, I'd be a cinch, too. I'll always use Lux for my complexion. It's just wonderful.
And now, how about next week's play, Irving?
Well, next week, it's an entirely different type of adventure, Dana. One of our 20 greats. A story of a search for gold by a trio of fascinating characters. And it's filled with suspense right up to the unexpected climax. It's Warner Brothers, The Treasure of Sierra Madre. And as our stars will be Edmund O'Brien and Walter Brennan.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that, Irving. Good night.
Good night.
You were both great.
You know, you women certainly have a right to complain about all the time you have to spend doing dishes. Well, it takes about 5.5 hours a week just to do the dishes for a family of four. And considering that doing dishes is only one of the chores you have to do every day...
Well, it certainly proves the truth of the saying, women's work is never done.
But at least it's done easier with Lux Liquid Detergent. Yes, with Lux Liquid, you can get those dishes out of the way really fast and easy. Made especially for dishwashing, Lux Liquid floats grease off, gets plates and glasses sparkling clean.
And you can skip the drying, too. Just rinse and let them drain dry.
Just a teaspoonful does a dishpan full. One can outlasts several boxes of the leading laundry powder.
And when you use Lux Liquid, your hands stay nice.
Yes, ma'am. Lux Liquid's almost as mild as Lux toilet soap.
Ken, tell them about the way it's packed.
Well, Lux Liquid is packed right in a can that won't break with a dripless spout that prevents spilling over the sides.
Know how much I like Lux Liquid, ladies? I like it as much for dishes as I like Lux Flakes for nylons.
Lux Liquid, like all Lever Brothers products, is unconditionally guaranteed. Your money back if you don't agree it's every bit as good as we say it is. Buy a can of Lux Liquid next time you mark it. It's the next best thing to a dishwashing machine.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lux Toilet Soap and Lux Liquid Detergent, invite you to be with us again next Tuesday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents The Treasure of Sierra Madre, starring Edmund O'Brien and Walter Brennan. This is Irving Cummings saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Free Europe is our way of telling people in the enslaved countries about American life and its freedom. Radio Free Europe is a citizen-sponsored organization and it urgently needs your support. You can play a personal role in the Crusade for Freedom by mailing your contribution to Crusade for Freedom in care of your local postmaster. Dana Andrews may soon be seen in the Universal International Technicolor production, Smoke Signal. Heard in our cast tonight were Les Tremaine as General Mann, Herb Butterfield as Dr. Bilderbeck, Bill Boucher as the Sheriff, Paul Freese as the narrator, Harley Bear as Fiddler, Ken Peters as the reporter, and Howard McNear, William Conrad, George Neese, Robert Bailey, Herb Ellis, Irene Tedrow, Don Diamond, Jack Crucian, Frank Gersel, George Baxter, Truda Mason, and Eddie Marr. Our radio play was adapted by Leonard St. Clair, and our music was composed and directed by Rudy Schrager. More and more Lux laundries are opening across the country. These carefully selected professional laundries use the same Lux flakes you use at home. Gentle Lux flakes plus professional methods means the cleanest clothes ever. And since Lux flakes are so much easier on all fabrics, your clothes will last longer as well as look better. Let a Lux laundry be your family laundry. Look for that Lux sign. And join us next Tuesday night to hear Treasure of the Sierra Madre with Edmund O'Brien and Walter Brennan.
Let's visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Well, a somewhat rare full network version of the Lux Radio Theater from February 8th, 1955, the 909th episode of the series War of the Worlds. And that's it for Hour of the Wolf. Jim Freund will be back next week, of course. Or will he? It's a fun drive. Maybe not. Tune in and see. And give generously to support WBAI New York. I'm Max Schmid. Tune in Sunday nights from 7 to 9 to hear our program or look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Max Golden Age. Yeah, I got to get all those plugs in. facebook.com/Max Golden Age. That's it from me, Max Schmid. See you Sunday.
This has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Max Schmid, for producing the program. I am preempted next week for fundraising. I will be here the week after on October 14th with Randy Dawn and possibly other guests. So in the meantime, I will be at Capclave recording interviews, and again, hope to see you Tuesday, October 6th at 388 Atlantic Avenue for the New York Review of Science Fiction readings, and take good care of each other. Good morning.
When I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am
the bitch. The red, white, and blue spit on you.
Put on hold, the bowl, lose control. So they-
core. That's all the way I see it. Well, I'm going off berserk. Cause the system work to jerk. My people, the people, all around the pigs lurk. Tell me I'm wrong, though. That's my writing. It's writing the Constitution. Yo, that's an illusion. Huh, suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they sure have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover. The red, red like the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm no lover of this act like many others take the same turn like me. They yearn for the flag to...
FM New York, WBAI.org. 3 minutes after 3 o'clock, right here at 99.5.
Come along with me, let's take a trip, but this time not on a slave ship. Let's find the people who hate this. These are the places we'll hit.
Number one, Panama, talking about Peru, Azania, Brixton, Belfast, can't forget Korea. Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico. Talk about uptown Harlem, New York City, y'all. And Nicaragua, East and South Central LA, California, IA, Miami. Do or die, Bed-Stuy, never ran, never will, Brownsville. Boogie down, South Bronx.
Can't be helped to be saved. Rain from the skies can bring new life, or it can bring me out.
motion closer the waves cannot be frozen. You can't push it away. You don't need your senses, and the sweetest taste will be yours.
Crimes you deceive, and now she's out to get but you won't fight what you believe in us, eh? You can get caught up in the deals you wish for all your greed, it won't revive for all the meals you miss. You pick a difficult road to proceed in a difficult sound, and you want to repeat it. You borrow, begging, plotting to steal it, but you will stop if you leave. So show me that you mean it. My microphone room, your fake shots on the floor. I break hearts on the road. Do you feel me? No, soon your fake.